So we're going to start from the beginning of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, right? The Chovos HaLevavos was written by Rabbeinu Bachya, not to be confused with Rabbeinu Bachaye, who also wrote a commentary on Chumash, was a different person. The Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, as we'll see, literally translates into duties of the heart or obligations of the heart. A lot of this Sefer has to do with the way in which we connect to Hashem with our mitzvos, with our Torah learning, as we'll see as we go along. So the first sha'ar, the first section of the Sefer, is known as the Sha'ar HaYichud. So he starts out by saying the following, Amar HaMechaber, Begeder Yichud HaElokim Belev Shalem Hu. The idea of Yichud HaElokim, of connecting to Hashem in a unique way, Sheyihyu Alev HaLashon Shavim BeYichud HaBorei Yisparach, that your heart and your mouth should be one, should be synchronized when it comes to worshiping Hashem, when it comes to the idea of Hashem being one. Achar asher yavin v'darche harayos beru mitziuso v'amitas achduso miderech ha'iyun, after you have figured out and you've contemplated the ways of Hashem and you've come to the realization that there is only one God because you have done your philosophical and intellectual homework. In other words, you're not just believing that there's one God, you actually investigated it and you realized that there was one God. Mipnei sheyichod ha'elokim mischalik ba'medabrim kifi hischalkos ha'karasam ba'havanasam. Every person has a different way of relating to this notion, to this idea that there's one God, because every person has a different level of intellect that they operate with, and therefore how you come to understand Hashem will depend on what your intellectual capabilities are. For example, mehem, misha miyachid oso bilashono bilvad, vihu sheyishma b'nei adam omrim davar, vihu nimshach achareyem mibli das inyan mashehu omer. Some people don't really understand what it means that there's one God in the world. They hear other people saying it, so they just kind of say it too, because that's what everyone else is saying. So they just say it because everyone else was saying it, but they don't really understand it. That's one type of person. Umehem, the other kind of person is, Misha miyachadehu belibo ulishono, yavin inyan mashehu omer miderecha kabbalah shekibel mehavosav, ve'enenu yodea beru mashekibel meha inyan hahu, amitas mashehu mamin meha inyan hahu. The second type of a person is someone who in their heart and with their mouth, they were able to understand that the way that they know that there's one God is based on a tradition that they have received from their forefathers, from their ancestors. Now, again, they still don't fully understand what it means. They couldn't tell you, philosophically what that means or how, in other words, they couldn't prove to you maybe that there was one God, but they have a tradition from their forefathers that there's only one God. Okay, that's the second type of person. The third type of person, umehem, misha miyachadehu achar sheyavin miderech harayos amitas ha'inyan, after you have presented all the proofs that God exists, ach yachshivenu b'machashavto kishar ha'achadim ha'nimtzayim v'yavo l'hagshim ha'borei ulaham shilehu b'tzura uvedmus mepenei she'enenu yodeya amitas yichudo v'inyan mitziyuso. The third type of person believes in God and actually figured out that God exists on his own. The only thing is that he gives physical traits to God because he doesn't understand how to think about Hashem in any other way. This is what we call in English anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means when you take physical qualities or physical traits and attribute them. What was that? You have a question? What? Anyone? Question? No? Okay, so again, the term anthropomorphism basically just means that you give physical traits to something not physical, in this case, God. So the third type of person that we're dealing with here is someone who figured out that God exists on their own. They weren't just relying on a tradition or on someone else who told them. They figured it all out. The only problem is that they don't understand what it means that God doesn't have a body or that God is beyond this world. That's the third type of person. And then the fourth type of person, umehem, misha miyachadehu beliba ulishono, achar sheyavin inyan ha'echa ha'echad ha'emes v'ha'echad ha'over v'yavirayos al-biru mitziuso v'amita sichudo v'zehu ha'chilek ha'sholim b'inyan ha'yichud. The fourth type of person is someone who understands Hashem and actually understands what it means to be godly in a permanent sense. In other words, not that Hashem is one of many gods, not that Hashem, you know, there are other forces in the world, but that Hashem is the one true God. Again, he also figured that out on his own. But again, in contrast to the third person, this fourth person actually believes that God is beyond this world. He's not bound by physical traits. Al kena marti begeder hayichud hashalim shehu hashvaas haliv vehalashon biyichud haborei. Achar sheyeda lo haviraya alav veladas afne amitas achduso miderech ha'ian. So therefore, the Chovas HaLevavos says that he started this sefer by discussing the idea of the yichud hashalim, the true connection, the whole connection, the complete connection to God, which is that your heart and your mind and your mouth have to be in sync. In other words, it's not enough that you just have a tradition or that somebody told you that God exists or that God is one, but you also need to be able to intellectually and, you know, philosophically come to that conclusion. And only then... Okay, that's a good question, Ayel, very good question. We'll hopefully get to that. But once you reach that point, however you do that, once you reach that point, you are then able to come and have a better understanding or appreciation of Hashem. So again, just to review this first part, the first perek, we said that there are four categories of people who understand that God exists. One is someone who hears it from someone else. Two is someone who has a tradition for it. Three is someone who figured it out on his own, but believes that God is a physical being that has a body, for example. And the fourth one is someone who actually understands what it means that God is one. Those were the different categories that we mentioned. But we said that in order to have a full-fledged appreciation for what Hashem is, you have to really figure that out and come to that conclusion on your own, which again, we will hopefully talk about in detail as we go along. Okay, so any questions so far about what we said? Good? Rachel, how can you prove Hashem intellectually if he is above intellect and our limited capability to understand it? Okay, so that's kind of like Ayala's question a little bit, right? Meaning, like, how are we supposed to prove that Hashem exists in the first place? Again, we're gonna hopefully get back to this point about trying to understand and proving Hashem. Whether you should be doing that at all times is also questionable, because this idea that I'm supposed to go ahead and prove that Hashem exists may not necessarily be the wisest idea, because if, let's say, you cannot come up with a sufficient proof that God exists, so then what, you're going to throw everything away because you don't have a proof? So obviously you have to know where to draw the line. You have to know how to be like, okay, I'm going to try to figure it out, but on the other hand, if I don't figure it out, I can't just be like, I'm just going to throw everything away if I can. So again, you have to strike a balance, as we'll talk about. Okay, so moving on, no problem. So moving on,
So what about, well, we were all born to families who told us that, like, that's tradition. So does that mean that we...
Excellent question. Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So on the one hand, all of us, essentially, for the most part, were brought up with the knowledge that God exists. Because, like, that's basically, like, the backbone of being a Jew, is that God exists. So it's an excellent question. So does that mean that none of us are able, by definition, to figure it out? So I think the answer probably is no. Meaning, I think the simple answer is that we could still figure out that God exists, and we could still prove that God exists, even though we were brought up with a tradition, right? Meaning, the second type of person that we spoke about is a person who just relies on their tradition, and that's it. They don't try to, you know, investigate any further, anything beyond that. But just because you have a tradition that God exists, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the only thing that's going for you. You could still prove it afterwards. Okay, so moving on to the second paragraph now. Amar HaMechaber, Ach, Al Kamapanim Mischalik Yichud HaBorei. There are many aspects of this idea that Hashem is one. So, for example, Omar, Mipnei Shepashta Milas Yichud B'Divrei Anshei HaYichud Hirgilu Baharbe B'Lashonam Uvimilosam Tamid Ara Sheshava Etzlam Mimilos Hatema Al Hatov V'Al Hara. Because there are many people who discuss and who try to figure out the idea that Hashem is one and is unique in the world, people use different expressions or different words to convey the idea of Hashem's uniqueness, to the point that people start to talk about things like, for example, the idea that, you know, there's a God who's good, But there's a God who's bad. Right? God does good things. God does bad things for us. Right? V'heimishtam shemim ba becherdasam l'tzara gedola. L'hagdila u'l'hafli inyana. V'einam malim ha-machashavtam l'havin amitas inyan ma'she ya'aviru al-lishonam mipenei ha-sichlus v'ha-atzlus. These people who talk about God the way that we would talk about other people don't really understand or appreciate what they're saying. They talk about God in a foolish, in a lazy manner that's almost like you would talk about a regular person, right? They're not cognizant. They're not aware enough of what it is that Hashem represents or really is to appreciate what it is that they're talking about. For example, the Heim Choshim, they think, Ki inyan hayichud nigmar lahem kasher nigmar amilaso. For example, these people believe that the idea, that the concept of Yichud Hashem, that Hashem is unique, that idea ends when their word ends, when their speech ends. What does that mean? The lo yargishu, they don't realize, Ki libosam reikim me amitaso, umatspunehem urim me inyano, mipnei shemiyachadim oso bilishonam uvimilehem, V'yachshivu bilvavam yoser meha echad v'yidamu b'matzpunam b'demus she'ar ha'achadim hanimtzayim v'yisapru oso b'midos lo se osna la'echad ha'emes pa'avur she'enam yodim inyan ha'echad ha'emes v'inyan ha'echad ha'over elo ha'segula me'anshi ha'yichud she'emiku v'achachma v'hevinu inyan ha'bore v'hanivra v'chukei ha'echad ha'emes u'mashu mispode. But this, basically what he's saying is that these people who talk about God as if he's just like another person, they don't understand what Hashem represents. They don't understand what Hashem is or what Hashem isn't. And again, like we said before, they talk about Hashem like he's a person. They don't know what it means to make these distinctions between Hashem. They don't, in other words, again, they use these terms, right? They express, they exaggerate, they use these terms to talk about Hashem, let's say, for example, when they're saying Shema, but they don't really understand what it is that they're saying, right? Like, for example, they may say Hashem Echad, but in their mind, they may believe that there's more than one God, right? Or they may believe that Hashem is made up of multiple parts, that Hashem is not, not just one being. So, for example, he says, the Emes Amar Hafili Sof Be'omro, right, the philosopher, which generally refers to Aristotle, when you see the term philosopher. So Aristotle said, Lo yuchal la'avod ilas ha'ilos uschilas ha'haschalos ela nevi hador b'tivo o ha'filisof ha'muvhag b'mashe kanahu min ha'chachma aval zulasam ovdim zulaso mipnei she'enam levinim nimtza ela murkav. So what did he say? He said no one can serve the ilas ha'ilos. Ilas ha'ilos literally means the cause of all causes, which is another way of referring to Hashem, and the tchilas ha'tchilos, the beginnings of all beginnings, which is also Hashem. No one can serve Hashem except for the Nevi'im of the generation with their senses, or the philosopher who is perfect, who acquires wisdom, who understands Hashem. But other people, they don't understand what Hashem is because they have to make up an image in their head as to what Hashem really is, right? Because most people who are not Nevi'im or who are not, philosophers who have spent their whole lives thinking about God don't really have a conception or an idea or an image of what Hashem is. Because how could you? None of us have ever seen Hashem. None of us really know what Hashem is, right? It's kind of the point. So we have to kind of make up our own terms to figure out who and what Hashem really is.
And I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
When it's talking about like Yichud Hashem and like Hashem is one, is it talking about also like we should be one with Hashem, or is it just saying that like
good question. He is not talking about that. That's a different idea. He's talking about the idea to believe that Hashem is the one and only God, right? Hashem Echad. That's what we're talking about here. Okay. So what's the consequence of not having a solid foundation for belief or for really for understanding Hashem? Uba'avur zeh mischalik ha'yichud kefi eschalkos deos b'nei adam v'yisron ha'karasam al arba achalakim. Because of this, the idea of understanding the divinity and the unity, the oneness of Hashem, really breaks down into four levels that depends on a person's level of understanding to begin with. For example, Tchilasam, the first level, Yichud Hakel Balashon Bilvad, is just understanding Hashem in your mouth. What does that mean? Meaning the way that you talk. In other words, I can say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I don't understand what that means. Maybe I don't even believe that, possibly, but I say it. That's like the lowest level, is that I express, I talk about the fact that Hashem is one. Basically, a child or a fool or a simple person can reach that level. Because that's, you know, anyone can say words, anyone can say whatever they want, right? It doesn't mean that you believe it, it doesn't mean that you understand it, right? So anyone can say, I believe in Hashem. That could be a completely meaningless statement. I believe Hashem is one. But what does that even mean? You don't even understand what Hashem is in the first place. So the lowest level that he talks about is a person who just says, I believe in Hashem. That's it. V'achilek Hashem, the second level, is Yichud Hakel Balev Uvalashin Ayadakal. This is a little bit more than the first level. This person not only believes in Hashem verbally, but also in their heart, because of their traditions. Because they believe, this person believes in the people that they got their tradition from their families. And again, he doesn't understand what it means to believe in God intellectually. He doesn't have an actual understanding of Hashem, but he has a tradition, right? He has from his family. His family told him that Hashem exists. So he believes that. He's like a blind person following the person who can see. So his ancestors have sight. They can see. This person, he's just kind of following blindly. He's like, oh, God exists because that's what my dad told me. Okay, I'll believe it. It's very possible, in fact, it's likely, that your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather also didn't really understand what that meant, and they got it from someone else who didn't really understand what that meant. It's like a whole group of blind people. Some call echad mehem yado al shechem chaviro ad shehigiyu al apikeach asher barosh ha-chaburo shemanigam. They all put their hands on the father, the grandfather, the great. Right? There's a whole train of blind people who don't understand what it means that God really is one, but they're relying on the first guy who told them. You know, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or someone way back when who actually understood what that meant, but everyone since then is just a blind person who's kind of, you know, fumbling around in the dark to understand what it even means. But we're all relying, this is the second type of a person, who's relying on the traditions from his ancestors to understand what it means that God exists. Again, doesn't really understand it, but, you know, that's what my parents told me. She'im yivsha ha-pikech ha-zebahem. If the person who can see, if he fails them, or if he leaves them, this type of person is very dangerous, because a person who just believes in Hashem because their parents did and their grandparents did, well, what if there's one person in your family, or there's one person who's like you, who's like, well, I found a proof that God doesn't exist. Well, then everything's going to come tumbling down, because you don't really have a knowledge that God exists. You're just assuming that it's true because that's what your parents told you. So this is a very dangerous type of a person. This type of person is very susceptible, is very likely to fall and to have a religious setback, if you will, because they're just kind of groping around and fumbling in the dark. They don't really understand what it means that Hashem exists in the first place. And the same is true again for a person who is going based on tradition. If a person is just going based on tradition, so it's very possible that such a person could be swayed by someone from a different religion. Let's say, I don't know, a Christian or a Muslim, whatever, says, oh, you know, I believe in God too, but I am a slightly different version of God. You're like, okay, that sounds good. That sounds like what I believed in. That sounds like what my parents, right? Meaning, like, you're not going to be able to distinguish between, you know, this God, that God. It all sounds the same to you. So that's very dangerous, right? That's why Chazal say in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, have a shakug lilmo Torah, the dama shetashiv lapikores. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, a person has to be diligent in their Torah learning, and you have to know how to respond to an apikores, to a heretic. If a person, whether it's a Jew who left the religion, or whether it's someone from a different religion entirely, if they try to persuade you to join them, you need to know how to respond intellectually. It's not, you can't just go over to a guy who's trying to convert you and say, No, you have to know how to respond. You have to have some kind of a logical argument. In fact, the poskim say that the only heter that we have to even learn about other religions is the whole discussion in the Gemara about whether you're allowed to learn about other religions. So the Gemara says that normally you're not allowed to learn about other religions if you want to know how to practice. Like, for example, you can't learn Buddhism or Christianity or Islam if you want to know what to do. But the Gemara says you are allowed to learn about them lahavin ulahoros. Lahavin ulahoros means you can learn about it if you want to be able to pasken a shayla. Let's say a guy worshipped Avodah Zarah, and you want to know, is he chay of Misa or not for worshipping Avodah Zarah? So you have to know what's called Avodah Zarah. So there's a very big discussion about this in the Rishonim. Is Islam considered Avodah Zarah? Is Christianity considered Avodah Zarah? It's a very, very big machlokas about this. So anyway, so in those contexts, you're allowed to learn about other religions. Or if, let's say, you want to be able to respond to someone, well, hang on a second, Rich, I'll answer in a second. So if you want to respond to someone about another religion. So again, meaning if a person is trying to convince you to convert, let's say, you need to know how to respond. Rachel, in terms of your question about historically, it probably depends on the context. In other words, if you're learning about the history of Islam, the history of Christianity, so first of all, a lot of their history has a lot to do with Jewish history too. So it's as you can imagine. So that's obviously okay. But again, what's specifically problematic is to learn how to worship like a Muslim, how to worship like a Christian, how to worship like a Buddhist. That you're not allowed to do unless you're doing it for the sake of learning halacha, right? So to learn the history of Islam is totally fine. The history of Christianity is totally fine. That's just history. That's okay. But to sit down and start reading through the New Testament, to start reading through the Quran, to start reading, to actually start, you know, learning how to practice like a person of a different religion, that's a problem. That's an issue you can't do. Okay. So that's the second type of a person. The third category of person that we spoke about, this is a person who believes in Hashem with his mouth and with his heart, right? This is a person who is able to intellectually understand that God exists. He understands the fact that God, it's not just a permanent, that it's not just a temporary idea of echad, of unity, but it's permanent. He resembles a person who can see, who's traveling on the road, who wrote el eretz rechoka, he wants to go to a distant land. There are a lot of splits or forks in the road. So he doesn't really know where to go, right? But in other words, he knows the general direction of how to get to where he needs to go, but every time he hits another fork in the road, he doesn't know where to go. So after a while, the guy knows the general direction that he's supposed to travel in, but every time he goes a certain way, he has another fork in the road. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles that the toil, the effort that the fools put in is going to wear them out because they don't know how to get to their destination. Meaning, this third type of a person who understands Hashem, who came to a realization of Hashem on his own, not just because of other people. He figured it out on his own. But the problem is he doesn't really fully chap what Hashem is. He thinks Hashem is a body. He thinks Hashem is a physical being. He's heading in the right direction, but he's not getting there. And he's going to wear himself out trying to get to his destination, when in reality, he's kind of missing the boat a little bit. Okay? And then the fourth type of a person that we mentioned, the Hachile Karevi'i, who Yichud Elokim Balev Uvalasho, that again is the fact that Hashem is one. And we know that in our hearts and in our and with our mouth. Again, we verbalize that. So I can prove that Hashem is one. And I can prove that Hashem is one also, you know, based on my own logic. This is the greatest of the four levels. That's what we say in Aleinu every day, right? You have to know. You have to be able to come to a recognition of Hashem on your own, and specifically to recognize the fact that Hashem is Bashamayim Mimal, V'al Ha'aretz Mitachas. He is above the heavens and he's beneath the earth, and he ain't owed. Ein Od means there's no one else like Hashem, right? He is the only one. You need to come to a recognition of Hashem on your own, with your own intellect. That is the greatest level. So again, we just to recap this parak. Okay, this parak was basically explaining the four categories of people that we started with, right? We said that the first guy who's just hearing it from other people, that's the lowest level, right? All he's hearing is, okay, God exists. Obviously, his belief in God is very, very flimsy, and anything, you know, that's the level of belief of a child, that any five-year-old, you know, could just say, I believe in God without actually meaning it. Then the second level is a person who believes in God based on traditions that they have. But that's also very dangerous, because assuming that everyone has a tradition and all his parents and grandparents have traditions, that tradition could easily collapse, or you could be easily persuaded or enticed to go to join a different religion. Then the third one was the person who figured God out on his own, but he's going in the general correct direction, but he doesn't fully understand what God is. He still thinks God has a body. He's still not 100% there yet. He's going to wear himself out as he's traveling to his ultimate destination of figuring out God. And of course, the fourth level, the highest level, is a person who understands God, who figures God out entirely. One second, and figures out God entirely. That is the highest level of a person. Yeah. What's up?
I have two questions. Yeah. First, so the third person is kind of like Abu Dazara, because what? Somebody could. Like,
you're saying someone who believes that God has a body. Is that what you're saying?
Okay,
this is a big machloka. So yes, the Rambam, one of his 13 principles of faith, right, says that you have to believe, right, ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema, right, that shabore yisparach shemo eino guf, velo yasigu masige haguf eino shum dimyon klal. You have to believe that God does not have a body, that God has no physical traits, that whenever the Torah talks about God with an outstretched hand or whatever, that's all metaphorical, that's not literal, right? You're right, that's what the Rambam says. The Ravid...
The Rambam understands all that from the word Echad in Shema.
Oh, you're saying what's the source for the Rambam? That's part of the Rambam's general theory. That's not... I don't know if he learns that specifically from the word Echad. The Rambam has other sources to prove that idea. The Ravid, who's one of the Rishonim, who often disagrees with the Rambam, the Ravid also concurs that God does not have a body. No one in mainstream Judaism thinks that God has a body. But what the Ravid disagrees about a very, very subtle point, which addresses what you were just saying before, Ayelet, which is that the Ravid believes that someone who does believe that God has a body, while they're wrong, they're not a heretic. They're not an apikores. They're not a kofar. Right? So meaning he says, why? So why is that true? Because if
God's a human.
No. Again. The Ravid doesn't believe that God has a body. He doesn't believe that. He agrees with the Rambam that God does not have a body. But the only thing is that he says that those who do believe that God has a body, they're not heretical. Meaning they're wrong, but they're not heretical, right? In other words, there's a difference between being wrong and being heretical, right? Those are two very different things, right?
I'm saying, why aren't they heretical?
Because he's saying that, you know, it's a fair reading of the psukim, right? Because if you read the psukim in Chumash, right, you get the impression that God does have a body, right? It's not so crazy, right? You read the psukim, right? God has an outstretched hand. God gets angry, right? It's like if you just read Chumash literally, you would probably also say that, right? So the Ravid says it's wrong, but it doesn't make you a heretic. Okay, what was your second question?
And then my second question is, so then technically, like, none of us were able to achieve the highest level because our parents...
Again. This was the question from before, right? In other words, again, you can have a tradition that God exists, and yet, right, for example... Everyone in this Zoom shiur right now believes that God exists, I assume. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here right now.
If we didn't have that tradition, then we don't know. Like,
but that's not my point. My point is that you all believe that God exists, and yet you can still gain a greater appreciation or understanding of God. The proof is because none of us really fully understand what God is. That's kind of the point, right? So we're spending our lives learning His Torah, doing His mitzvos, to try and get to that level. We're trying to reach that level of understanding God, where right now we're not at that point, right? Meaning you can have a tradition that God exists. That could be part of your tradition, which is a good thing, but you can build on that tradition, right? So my initial tradition was God exists, and then I'm like, okay, let me build up from there and actually prove it and actually figure it out on my own. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, any other questions from what we just did? No? Okay, so let's move on to start the third pattern. says, Ach ladasim anu chayovin lachkor al hayichud bederecha iyun imlo. So now he's going to get into some of the nitty gritty here. So he says whether, okay, so in other words, again, we just spent the last, you know, half hour talking about the idea that it's important to investigate and prove that God exists. Now the question is, tachlis, should I be doing this? Should I actually try to figure out if God exists or not? So he says like this, Omar, Kichol mi sheyuchal lachkor al ha'inyan hazeh ve'hadome lo min ha'inyanim ha'muskolim b'derech ha'svara ha'sichlis chayav lachkor alav kifiyas ha'gaso v'chalach ha'karaso. Anyone who has the intellectual and mental capabilities of understanding Hashem through philosophy, through their knowledge, should definitely try to do that. They should try to understand Hashem to the best of their abilities. Uchvar hikdamti b'schilas ha'sefer hazeh min ha'dvarim ha'marim chiyuv ha'inyan. In the beginning, in his introduction, which we did not do, in his introduction to his Sefer, he already presented certain arguments which demonstrate that people have an obligation to try and understand Hashem to the best of their ability. And one who neglects this, one who does not investigate Hashem when they can, that's a terrible thing. That's a person who is, you know, selling themselves short, basically, in their wisdom and in their actions. It's like a person who's ill. Let's say a person is sick, right? And the person who's sick is an expert in healing. They're, let's say, a doctor, right? So in other words, the person who's, let's say a person's a doctor who knows all about diseases, he knows all about healing people who are sick. He's relying on a different doctor to heal him. And let's say, for example, you're like an amazing doctor and you're not feeling well, and you're like, okay, so I have two choices. Either I can go to some other doctor and he can tell me what's wrong, or I can just figure it out on my own. If you're like the best doctor out there, why wouldn't you just figure it out on your own? Like, you have more tools to figure out what's wrong with you than the other guy does, so why don't you just figure it out on your own, right? Nothing will hold you back from figuring out what's wrong with you. This is our obligation. Our responsibility is we are the most well-equipped to figure out and to prove the existence of Hashem. We're like the expert doctors for these purposes. It's our job to figure out Hashem. Okay?
So, when it says that
that
we have to investigate Hashem, does that mean that A, obviously learning about him and like his commandments in the Torah.
Right.
But then does it also mean like speaking to atheists and then like taking in their arguments and then not?
You're definitely not obligated to speak to atheists. In fact, I would strongly discourage it. It could even mean something as simple as learning a sefer of Jewish philosophy, learning the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, learning the Kuzari, learning, there are hundreds of Sfarim that you can learn, right? Or you could talk to a Rav, you could talk to someone who knows these things, right? I'm saying, like, there are a lot of ways that you can go about doing this that doesn't involve you talking to atheists or people from other religions or whatever, right? I'm saying there are ways to do this, okay? So he says, V'haraya sheha hashava el halev hu iyon hasichel, and the proof that we said that you have to, you know, as the pasuk says in Ve'eschan, we say in Devarim, right? V'hashevo sa'el levavecha. That idea of, you know, returning, of laying everything on your heart, that means you have to investigate. You have to figure out Hashem. Huma sha'amar ha'kasov, that's what the pasuk means when it says, v'lo yashiv elibo, v'lo das, v'lo sfuna. That no one puts anything on their hearts, neither knowledge or understanding. What does that mean? V'amar David ha'melech olav ha'shalom, v'atash shlomo v'ni das lokei avicha, v'avdeyu b'leif shalim v'nefesh chafetza, ki chol levavos doreish Hashem. David ha'melech says to his son Shlomo in Divrei Hayamim, you have to know Hashem, serve him with your whole heart, and you have to desire and you have to seek him out. Rachel, I'll answer your question One second. For Amar du ki Hashem hu Elokim, you have to know that Hashem is God. For Amar asagaveu ki yada Hashemi, Hashem says you have to understand me. You have to know my name. For Amar hanavi halo yadata lo shamata lo kei olam Hashem. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hashem is the one true God. For Amar it says ki imbezos yisalel hamisalel haskel viyadoa osi. The key is to know Hashem intellectually. For Amar Rabbi Seinu zechronim levracha. This is the Mishnah we quoted before in Pirkei Avos. Have a shakalum otora v'damash. You have to learn Torah diligently and know how to respond to an apikoras. And the pasuk says to guard the Torah, and we learn the Torah because it is the wisdom that sets us apart from the other nations. Okay, so again, the point of this paragraph here is just to say that we are obligated to the best of our abilities to be able to understand intellectually and comprehend the nature of God. Okay, Rachel, what was your question? But if you want a completely intellectual and honest belief in God, don't you need to speak with atheists? So, okay, that's a fair point. I don't know if it's entirely true. I don't think that you need to speak to an atheist in order to have a complete understanding or belief in God, for a few reasons. First of all, because based on our traditions that were given by Chazal, and again, that passed to us, so we already understand what and who God is, that we don't need to rely on others to tell us what it is. So learning about Hashem from a Jewish perspective is sufficient for those purposes. And now again, it could be that you're going to have a run-in with an atheist who may start to question you. That's a different story. But are you obligated to go seek out atheists and start talking to them? I don't think so. I think that's actually a bad idea, because let's say you find an atheist who's smarter than you, right? So that's going to shake your religious belief. It's often better to go with the traditions that we have, right, that passed down to us, and then you can kind of move from there. Again, that's not to say that you shouldn't learn about God, you shouldn't learn about our religion. You can do that within the context and the framework of learning Chazal, of learning, the Rishonim, of learning the Sfarim that we have, instead of having to run to somebody else. Okay, so let's finish up this parak. It's impossible, right, that the other nations of the world would admit to our knowledge the nations of the world are only going to say, wow, look how smart and intelligent the Jewish people are. They would only say such a thing if we were able to prove to them that God existed. And Hashem has already promised us, right? Hashem has already guaranteed to us to remove this foolishness, right? To remove the foolishness that's masking, that's covering everything, the ignorance. The sheyirah echivodo habahir laoslanu al amitas Torah senu kasher amar v'holuchu goyim laorechum lachem lenogaz archeich va'omer v'holuchu amim rabim va'amru luchu v'naale al har Hashem. The nations of the world, when they realize how correct we are, that God, that this is our God, and that He is the real God, so they're going to actually ascend to the Beis HaMikdash. They are going to try to emulate us, right? We've already proven from Sukkim, from our traditions, from our logic, that we must try and understand Hashem to the best of our ability. Okay, any questions on that, Perek? Good. Any more questions? No. Yeah.
This is back to the body part about Hashem. Many things in the Torah we read allegorically, and then many things in the Torah we read literally.
Yeah. So how do you know what's what? Great. It's a great question. Yeah. It's an excellent question.
Specifically about God's body, how do we know that we should be reading that one allegorically when there are so many people?
Yeah, you're right. It's an excellent question. It's kind of a hard question to answer, because there are certain principles, like the fact that God does not have a body, which are universally accepted, which are based on other psukim, based on statements of Chazal. So this is one of the reasons why we so heavily rely on the Torah Sheba'al Peh, right? The Gemara, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, to kind of teach us how to read Torah Sheba'al Chazal. I'll give you an example, right? When the Torah talks about the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, all it says is Ukshartam la'os al yadecha v'hayu l'totafos b'inenecha. That's the whole mitzvah of tefillin, right? I mean, tefillin is mentioned a couple times in the Torah, but that's pretty much it. Or v'hayu l'chol la'os al yadecha totavos be'enach. It's mentioned 2, 3, 4 times, and it gives very little detail. How do we know that a tefillin have to be black? How do we know a tefillin have to, they have to be a perfect square? That the straps have to be black? None of that is written in the Chumash anywhere. That's all we call halacha l'Moshe Misina. That was all a tradition that was passed down to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? All of that is part of our tradition. It's part of our Mesorah. We need the Torah Shebaal Peh and Chazal in general to teach us how to read Chumash. That's exactly the problem, because we don't know how to read Chumash the right way. What's literal? What's allegorical? That's where Chazal comes in. That's where the Torah Shebaal Peh steps in. Says, okay, this is literal. This is metaphorical. How Chazal figured that out? That's a separate question. That you have to be someone on the level of the Tanaim and Amoraim to figure that out. But they figured it out. So we follow their footsteps. They figured out what's literal, what's not, and we kind of go based on that. Okay.
So the Gemara says that, yeah.
The Gemara talks about this, and there are numerous places in the Gemara that talk about these ideas, and the Rishonim talk about the notion that God is, does not have a body. This comes up in a number of places in the Gemara also. Yeah. Okay, any other questions from this parak before we move on? Okay, so we'll try to do one more parak for now, and then we'll stop. Okay, so parak Revi'i. Ach. Ich derech ha-mechkar al amita sayichot. U'masha anitzrichin l'dayto kodem shenachkor al hayichot. So the next question becomes, what the proper way to investigate Hashem is, to understand the notion of achdos, of oneness, of unity of Hashem, and specifically, what introductions do we need to have? What do we need to know before we jump into investigating the essence of Hashem? So Omar, ki chol dover shemivakshin l'daso so, anything that we want to understand about Hashem, Kishem is stopkim b'mitzuyuso, when we're not 100% sure about the existence of Hashem. Sorich l'shol l'tchil, we have to first ask ourselves, im nimtza ola, does it exist in the first place? Uchashit isbarar amitas mitzuyuso, once we can prove or clarify the fact that Hashem exists, so then sorich l'shol l'tchil, I'm sorry, sorich l'akorolav, mahu, ve'echu, v'lamu. So once you've gotten over the original, the initial step of proving that Hashem exists, the next step is to figure out, okay, what is Hashem? Who is Hashem? Why does Hashem do what he does? Right? All those other questions kind of are a follow-up from once you prove that Hashem exists. Acha bori yisaleh, ein adam rashay l'shon olav ela be'im hu bilvad. When you're talking about Hashem, right, you cannot, in other words, you can only ask the question, you cannot ask the question of im hu. You can't ask the question if God exists. That's not a legitimate question to ask for our purposes. And when you figure out the existence of God intellectually, so you have to figure out, is he one? Is he more than one, right? Once you figure out that he's one, so you'll contemplate, you'll think about the fact that Hashem is one, and what exactly that means that God is one. And through that, we'll be able to complete the Yichud HaShalim, the fact that Hashem is truly one God. That's exactly the idea that we speak about in the Pasuk of Shema. We have to first investigate. First of all, is there a creator for this world? Once we've proven that there's a creator, we then have to prove, is he one or more than one? When we prove that he's only one, then we have to figure out, is that oneness permanent or temporary? So as we'll continue in the Sefer, we'll see he's going to get into more and more detail about what it means to investigate and to understand the nature of the oneness of Hashem, which will hopefully continue next time. Okay, so we'll stop here for now.